The text we'll be considering this morning comes from Peter's second epistle, chapter 1, verses 16 to 21. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So far, our text. Dear friends in Christ, let me tell you a secret about a father's love, a secret that my daddy said was just between us. See, daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end. Amen. For those of you unfamiliar, that is the chorus of a famous country song from the 90s. In the first verse of that song, the singer recounts a time when he was a child and he got into a fight and he was concerned about what his father was going to do to him when he found out. Instead, his father just said these words to him. By the time the second verse rolls around, it is the singer telling his own child these words when he gets into a similar situation. By the time the final verse rolls around, which is said to be a dream, he finds himself outside of heaven's gates, and he's wondering to himself, how am I ever going to get inside for all of the bad things that I've done in my life? And he hears these words from the other side. Though that song refers to a father's love as a secret, the implication is that it's anything but a secret. It's well known. So when Jesus was baptized, God's voice was heard from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." In the verses that we just read this morning, Peter recalls the words being spoken at the Mount of Transfiguration, in which he was present at. And both of these events revealed Jesus for who he truly was. He was not just another man. He wasn't just a great teacher. He wasn't just another prophet, as many suspected him to be. He was the Son of God. He was God himself, and he had that approval from God the Father. It was seen there at his baptism, of course, but at the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus was seen in all of his glory and majesty. And the passage, Peter is telling the readers that he was an eyewitness of these events. In the account of the Transfiguration, Jesus told him and the others not to tell what they had seen, at least until he had risen from the dead. And I bring that up because it sounds like a secret. But Peter does bring it up eventually here in this account to his readers. And you can find the Transfiguration account in the Gospels. And like many of those miracles that he performed early on in his ministry, he likely wanted to ensure that the right information, namely that gospel message, was getting out there and not just the fantastical elements that people like to hold on to. And so what is it that they saw on the mount? What is it that Peter is talking about here in this passage? He writes that they did not follow these cleverly devised fables. They didn't hold on to secretive plans of salvation. Rather, they were eyewitnesses of Christ's glory. They saw it. They heard God himself speak from heaven that Jesus Christ was his own Son and worthy of the title. And that information is a light that comes to us in a dark place. We are familiar with dark places. We know for certain that life is no cakewalk. We're conceived in sin. We're born in it. Man is all too eager to sin in every endeavor that he takes on. And there's always this natural inclination that we can save ourselves or do something to contribute in one way or another. And not only that, that perhaps maybe God has hidden these plans of salvation or plans to happiness for each and every one of us in numbers or when we look up at the stars or by the riverbanks. Basically, anywhere that is not his word. And to fallen man, that sounds great. The gospel message, sure, that's foolishness to him, but to think that we can save ourselves, well, that's not foolish at all, according to sin. Or take the higher critics of the Bible, who claim that the words of Scripture are not inspired and that they're only the words of men. What they fail to recognize is that the Word teaches contrary to that. The glory of Christ was witnessed, not just at the Mount, but all the way from Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation. The Word is the Word of God. It was written down by men, but as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It does not contain the Word, as you learned in catechism, but rather it is God's Word. And we have access to that pure revelation of God. And not only did all the things in the Bible come to pass, but there are many things still yet to come. We have that lamp to our feet and that light to our path to show us the way. There are no secrets contained in the revelation we have from God. He promised us a Savior, and he delivered on that. And the Savior humbled himself to be the propitiation for our sins. He died on the cross, and he shed his perfect, innocent blood for us. He was seen in all of his glory, and not long after he died, and then he returned in all of his glory. And we know from that perfect revelation that God has given to us through his word that Jesus will once more return in that glory to bring us home to be with him. God's perfect love is shown to us in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and through that word. It is no secret, but it is a love without end. Amen. We sing hymn 720, all verses.